This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
I've got a lot to talk about with this guy. He's got a familiar last name. He's got a familiar voice. He's been around baseball all his life, and he has been synonymous with announcing baseball for the last 30 years. Chip Carey, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
But good morning to you, sir. I'm grateful to have you on. And while we were waiting to get you on board, we were just spitballing, and I was sharing with my young producer memories of Kirk Gibson in his home run in 88, game one.
Yeah, that's one of those indelible moments. I grew up in St. Louis, and I had Jack Buck's call that I got to listen to as well. And, those guys were iconic broadcasters. They were able to capture the moment. As you said before we got on the air, the great thing about TV is the pictures say far more than anything some guy wearing a suit and tie can say. And nobody did that moment letting the crowd tell the story better than Jack Buck and Vin Scully for sure.
You know, I want to talk about this year's World Series, but I am so curious about so many things regarding you and your family, Chip, and I hope you indulge me for a moment. But
sure.
You grow up in St. Louis, and you've got your own iconic announcers in your family, but you also have the great Jack Buck. Did you find yourself getting tidbits from both of them as you formed your own voice and your own style, or did you try to lean one way or the other, or did you go in a completely different direction?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think if you listen to every great guitar player, if you're a rock music fan, every great guitar player steals stuff from Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton or Alex Lifeson or whoever your favorite instrumentalist is. And we're no different. You can't help but absorb some of those things from osmosis. I got a compliment from a New York writer about 6 weeks ago. He said, "I really enjoy listening to your broadcast because you do it in a Jack Buck kind of way." And by that, he meant it's kind of a minimalist. Yeah, I talk a little bit too much, as we all do. But it's not all analytics. It's not all about numbers. It's about entertainment and information. And I took that as a great compliment because Jack Buck was such an instrumental part of my childhood growing up in St. Louis. But to your point about my family, look, I didn't know my dad or grandfather particularly well. My dad and I got close when I started doing the NBA games in my early 20s. And then when I got to the Braves, of course, we were very, very close. But the way I absorbed their cues, as it were, was the same way fans at home did. I watched the games on TV when I came home from school and watched the Cubs in the afternoon, the Braves at night. And then as I got involved in the business, I started picking and choosing things I liked about them as people and as broadcasters. And look, there's a certain amount of DNA that's unavoidable. But make no mistake, I'm not as gregarious and outgoing as my grandfather. Nobody in this world could be. And I'm certainly not as shy and as reserved as my dad. Who grew up, in the shadow of his father in St. Louis. I think I'm a mixture of both of them, but I'm very proud of the fact that I kind of do it my own way, and that's not an easy thing to do, as you said, with three generations of us at one point doing this crazy business called baseball broadcasting.
Did you have an opinion on Will Ferrell's impersonation of your granddad?
I loved it. I thought it was funny. My dad wasn't so much of a fan, because he thought Will was making fun of him, but it really wasn't that. It was sort of an homage to, my grandfather, toward the end of his career, kind of became the goofy uncle that would say something funny that everybody laughed about. It was not in any way, shape, or form malicious. I thought it was great. My wife and daughter met Will Ferrell, and he asked them what everybody thought of it. I loved it. I'm sure my grandfather would have loved it. That's the ultimate compliment when somebody who's been gone as long as he is still remembered and remembered fondly as this great caricature. But I think for younger fans who aren't aware of my grandfather's history, go back and listen to tapes of him doing the 1964 World Series and the way that he did games in the 60s on radio and television. He truly was the Bob Costas, the Joe Buck of that generation, and there really wasn't anybody better at painting a picture on radio with the excitement and passion that Harry Carey did on Camel X.
See, growing up in the 1980s, I was able to enjoy the Cubs broadcast during the day and then the Braves at night, so I got a double dip of both of them, Chip.
Yeah, same here.
All right, we're joined by Chip Carey, play-by-play for the Atlanta Braves. Chip, let's talk about this World Series, because I didn't see it coming a few months ago. I doubt anybody saw it coming other than perhaps Alex Anthopoulos, maybe executive of the year, no doubt, for the moves he made. Can you kind of work me through what happened, what made this team come together and not only produce a winning record, which it didn't have until August, But to make a run to the World Series, again, it's just, I'm blindsided by it.
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, this was a really, really good team on paper at the start of the year. They didn't start well. They didn't play well. Nobody was hitting other than Ronald Acuna Jr. and then Edda Adrianza and Pablo Sandoval, who were coming in off the bench. So offensively, it was a struggle. You had Max Fried on the IL. You were still hoping to get Mike Soroka back. He went down with injury. The offense came and went. You had Ozuna break his fingers, and then he ended up on administrative leave and was lost for the year. Then you lose Acuna. It was just one thing after another for this team. Wascari Noah, broke his hand punching the dugout bench. It was almost like everything that could go wrong did go wrong for this team, but they hung in there. Some of that was because of the division in which they played, but also that's because this team never quit. They don't. Brian Snitker was able to muster the troops and tell them, don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about 2 weeks from now, and don't worry about what happened 3 days ago. Let's win today. And this team, traded wins and losses pretty much every day for 109, 110 games. And then they caught fire. They went on a critical road trip to Philadelphia and New York. You might remember that one at the end of July. It was a 9-gamer, and they went 5-4. They could have gotten buried on that road trip. Those are the teams that were in front of the Braves and actually came back gaining ground in the divisional race. They came home 3.5, 4 games back, something like that, near the trade deadline. They got Jock Peterson after Acuna got hurt. And then all of a sudden, at the deadline, all the other players parachuted in and solidified and really salvaged the season. So, this team has shown incredible persistence. They have shown incredible professionalism. They, we all talk about the marathon that is a major league season and how long it is and how quickly things can turn. And one play or one sequence can turn your season on a dime. I think that really was the case for this club, and that's why I think this World Series run is so exciting. You get in the tournament, anything can happen. Look, that's what makes the NCAA tournament so fun. You've got 64 or 66 teams. Anybody has a shot, and the Braves got hot at the right time, and that hasn't stopped. I think they've been a 109-win-paced team over the final 2 months and into October. So they are truly peaking at the right time, and they'll need to continue that against a very good Houston club starting tonight in Game 1.
Chip, when Acuna went down, being a casual observer like many of us and not as intimately involved with the franchise as you are, we might have assumed, they're just going to play out the string, get ready for next year. But instead, the Braves pivoted in a completely different direction and actually reloaded. Can you kind of speak to what that says about the franchise and directly Alex Anthopoulos, what it means for him to go and to just reinforce the team and make a run like this?
Well, like I said, the Braves had the good fortune of not being in the National League Central or the National League West. Had they been in those divisions, the outcome might have been different at the trade deadline. Look, at the Braves had fallen 7-8 games back, there was some talk that you might have traded Charlie Morton, that you might have traded some of these other guys on this roster. Thankfully, that obviously didn't happen. But Alex has been around long enough to know that, as I said, if you're one of the 8 or 9 or 10 teams that gets into postseason play, you got a chance because anything can happen. But that goes to the credit of the players. This team didn't quit. We talk about that all the time on the broadcasts, that they don't always win, but they give you a finish. They seem to make things interesting. They don't always make it easy on themselves, but they find a way to make the games interesting and make the outcome interesting, and that's exactly what they did at or near the deadline. And all credit goes to them. Alex Anthopoulos believed in this team. Brian Snitker believed in this team. And more importantly, the players themselves believed in each other, and that's why they are where they are. And that's, I think, going to be a very valuable weapon going head-to-head with a very good Houston team.
Yeah, this is a very good Houston team, making its third World Series appearance in the last 5 years. What is the number one challenge going forward for Atlanta heading into Game 1 tonight and for the rest of the series?
I think you've got to get depth from your starting rotation. This is a Houston team that puts the ball in play. They hit for a lot of power. They're like the Braves in that regard. They've got a lot of thunder up and down this lineup. And if you can weather the storm and stay out of big innings, you've got a chance against them. Like the Dodgers, the Astros are going to miss some of their key starting pitching. Lance McCullers is not going to pitch in this World Series. I think 1, 2, and 3, the Braves have an advantage on paper because they've got Morton, Fried, and Anderson lined up ready to go in the first 3 games. But look, it's going to be a battle of can you minimize damage? They're going to score runs. I think on paper they're a better offense than what we saw with the Dodgers, who missed Justin Turner and they were without Max Muncy. The Braves were able to shut those guys down with some of their left-handed arms. These Astros hitters can hit left-handed pitching. And so, knowing you're not going to get strikeouts, can you get outs resolved? Can you get at-bats resolved early enough in the count to not pile up a ton of pitches and force your starter out of the game after four innings, because I think that's, again, one advantage where at least at first glance the Braves feel like they have an advantage over Houston. And with Charlie Morton going, you get him out of the first inning, let him get rolling. He's a guy that can hold them to one or two or three runs, and you hope you can scratch across three or four against their starter and, of course, their bullpen, which is very good, but at least on paper not as deep as the Braves, I don't think.
Excellent insight from Chip Carey. And, Chip, before we let you go, I want to pivot for one more question. I've got to ask you this. You've done basketball. You've done a ton of baseball. Is there any one event that you want to do more than any other before you hang it up?
I'd love to have a chance to call a World Series game. The unfortunate thing about the way the television and radio setup is in Atlanta and in many other places is that you do 155 regular season games, and then when the playoffs come, you're completely shut out. that's the worst part of the job, because just when the game starts to take on the extra added importance, you're forced to spectate or unfortunate to do post-game or pre-game shows for our folks at Valley Sports. But that's the hard thing. You know, when I did the NBA, you'd get to do the first round of the playoffs, and you do a couple of games in the next round if you were fortunate enough to advance. That's not the case in baseball. I wish there was a way that the local people on TV would have a chance to show their talents, not just me, but our tremendous Valley Sports production crew. I'd love a chance to do a World Series on radio. I love doing radio. It's something I miss terribly. It's something I really enjoyed, and I think I had a lot of success at doing. But Ben Ingram and Joe Simpson do a wonderful job on the Braves Radio Network, and like so many, I'll be watching the games from the Battery, getting ready for the post-game show, and I'll have the TV turned down and the radio turned up and hope for a great outcome and a great call from Ben and Joe, which we always seem to get.
2021 World Series begins tonight. Radio coverage starting at 7 p.m. on 98.9. Television coverage on Fox cranking up at 8 o'clock. Chip, appreciate your visit today, bud. Enjoy the World Series, and let's get together soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Be well in Charleston. We'll see you soon.
All righty. Thank you. It's Chip Carey. 2021 World Series begins tonight. Again, radio coverage starting at 7 o'clock.